It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. By Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, gain the competitive edge with vision performance. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is not Greg Camp. This is Bob Savage here in the air chair with the first voice that you hear on tonight's edition of Youth Sports Now. And tonight we're going to do things a little bit differently. No, I'm not going to be hosting the show. It's okay. Stop reaching for the button to punch and tune me out. We're going to get to know Greg Camp a little bit because, you know, Greg has introduced you to all these personalities and students and people who are involved in youth sports in our area. And it just kind of occurred to me tonight that it might be good to know the host of the show, the guy who has been bringing you this program now since February on WYSL, and who he is, why he does what he does, why he spends a week, or a night rather, every week on the radio here, telling you about youth sports in our area. Obviously, this speaks to a passion and a belief in the role and the importance of youth sports among our young people, and it's just great to just chat one-on-one here with Greg Camp. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. So here we are in the studio. We find ourselves talking to each other tonight here a little bit, and that's a good thing because you've got a real mission here. You've got a there's a reason that propels you into doing a radio show every week about youth sports. It's because you think there's a story to be told.
You know, Bob, it's interesting because there are so many stories to be told in youth sports. And the fact of the matter is that I think, and you know, this is my personal opinion, but it's my opinion that people don't put enough of a concentration and enough of an effort and enough of a thought process into youth sports. And what I mean by that is...
Are you talking about people in general, or are you talking about people who are actually involved in youth sports?
A little bit of both. I think that, you know, if you don't have kids and, you know, you've never had kids or you're not a grandparent, aunt, uncle, whatever, you're probably not interested in youth sports. And maybe when you drive by a Little League field or a Pop Warner field, you see the kids and you're like, oh, that's nice. It's that they're out there playing. But when you're involved, it's a lifestyle. I mean, my gosh, there are parents who spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to travel for their youth sports.
Yeah, boy, youth hockey comes to mind.
Oh, well, youth hockey is probably one of the most expensive sports for youth to play.
Travel hockey. There's this program called the Maximum Hockey Program. I believe it's still around. I know it was around for years and years. And we once did a remote broadcast because they used to do a weekly show like you do. And it was at ESL. And we actually did a broadcast on a Saturday morning. And we got there a little bit early because we had to set up all the equipment and all this stuff. And it was 6:30 in the morning, and you couldn't get into the parking lot at the old ESL. Now, I guess it's what, Bill Gray's Sports Center or whatever. But it was amazing to me. I mean, there's all little kids, and they're hauling around these equipment bags, and the parents are there. And obviously, these are people who have been up since 3:30.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's a bit insane when it comes to some of the schedules and the money that's going on in youth sports. But, you know, I think there's an issue with youth sports in general today where you've got to ask the question, are the kids having fun? And connected to that, are the kids having fun, and is it their will, their dream, their ambition to play sports, or is it moms or dads? And that is you know, a huge question you've got to ask.
The old vicarious, okay, I didn't excel at a sport, or maybe I never even got to play at all, but I'm going to live that vicariously through my kids. And that's what happens with, you know, the parents that come out of the stands, you know, in youth hockey.
It is amazing to me when I watch a youth hockey or a Little League or even a soccer game, the way the parents react to the kids and the coaches and the officials and so on. I mean, let's face it. We've had a lot of violence in our country on youth sports fields because of this whole issue. But the bottom line is, you know, do the kids want to do this or is it the parent? And I can tell you, I've seen some scenes that I'd rather wish that I hadn't seen of a father on a Little League field swearing and using foul language and calling his kids names because they couldn't pick up a ground ball. When in reality, the kid didn't want to be there, but it was the father's wish, demand, and dream that they be there because, well, maybe the dad was the same as the kid.
You know, it's funny to bring this up. Greg Camp, we're doing a little role reversal tonight. The host of the show is being interviewed here on Youth Sports Now because we're finding out what kind of guy comes down to the radio station once a week and talks about his passion for an hour with people. And, you know, turning back the hands of time here, Greg, back to when I was in school, and, of course, this is when dinosaurs roamed the earth. I realize this. But, you know, you used the term earlier in the show, playing. And kids would play Little League, and they would, you know, they would play football after school. They were members of the football team, or maybe they wrestled. There was no swimming program at Livonia Central when I went to school there, or some other sport. And it was really play, and it was more about kind of like really having a good time. So how did we get from that era to where we are today, where youth sports is? It's a huge industry. It's a lifestyle thing. It's something that we don't have to spend an hour talking about this every week on the radio. We could talk about it for 12 hours a week on the radio.
Sure.
Right?
And the fact of the matter is that why did we get here? How did we get here? I think it's part of the evolution of society and the way things are. You know, I'd like to blame it 100%, and I sort of do, on technology. Much like you, when I was a kid, I came home from school and, you know, aside from, you know, maybe gilding the lily a little bit with my parents, whether my homework was done, I was out on a baseball field or I was out on a football field. And where I lived, the front yard of our house was so big that we actually cut a baseball field into the front yard. And, you know, that's what we did until Mom yelled at us to come in. So there were no cell phones.
Let me guess. You had to come in when the streetlights came on.
Yeah, except
right?
I didn't have streetlights on my street. So it was pretty much when
we had one.
when Mom said, come in, you better come in. But, you know, it's just amazing that today, what do kids do? They come home from school. And before they even are home, they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. I mean, I know kids who are as young as 9, probably younger, who have cell phones and they're texting.
I know, the electronics. It makes you crazy.
It's nuts. I mean, in my league, in Penfield Little League, where I coach, I tell the kids on my team, guys, no cell phones in the dugout because you're not going to take a call during a game or a practice. You're not going to text. You do that after or before. But the hours that I have you on an athletic field, those are the hours that I'm sort of in charge. And I actually tell the parents that, too. You have a break from being a parent for 2.5 hours while your kid plays baseball because those 2.5 hours, once they're in the fence line, they're my kids, not yours.
That's an interesting philosophy. And I know that at ESL and in other, you know, venues where there's youth hockey being played, these parents are corralled. You know, they're behind plexiglass. They're in a, you know, reserved seating area. They are a certain distance from the ice. And there's a reason for that. Because, once again, this vicarious factor comes into play. And I don't want to call it endemic. I don't want to call it epidemic. But, boy, there sure is a lot of it, isn't there?
There is. It's gotten out of hand. I mean, as I mentioned just a minute ago, there's been violence. I mean, people have, for God's sakes, people have been killed. Referees after a soccer game
infamous case a few years back there.
Right. And it's just not right. And somehow society allows this to happen. You know, one of the things that I, as a coach, and I've been coaching now for 23 years, I will, you know, say that it's been all baseball. I haven't coached football or hockey or soccer. But within my Little League career, or as you call me in the show intro, the lifelong Little Leaguer, which I guess I am, in all these years, one of the things that I can be criticized for, and frankly, I'm proud that I'm criticized for it, is the simple fact that I'm going to coach the kids. You as a parent are going to, you can cheer, but you cheer for effort, not results, and is being tough on the parents. I make the parents sign a contract that says that they're going to let me coach. They're my kids during that time period. And the other thing that I'm critical of is...
Did you get pushback on that?
You know, no one has ever, ever pushed back at all.
Really?
They gladly, I don't, well, I shouldn't say gladly, they sign it.
They don't even question it. They don't, nope. I don't know about this, Greg. I don't know.
It's part of the expectation of being on my team, if you will. And, you know, even during this show, since we've started Youth Sports Now, I am critical of the parents and their behavior on the field or in the stands. I coach with a guy who has been my right hand, if you will, in the dugout coaching with me. And he has a statement, which I usually don't say in public or at least to parents, but I actually will use it with you right now. He says that if a parent can watch their children play the sport through binoculars, they're too close. And you know, it's sad that we even have to think that, let alone say that.
Yeah, because there's value to the kids for the parents to be in the stands and be supportive. So it's too bad that there has to be, whatever the minimum distance would be where right. You can't see them through binoculars in order for you to be safely present at your son or daughter's event.
It gets, you know, what I have found in 23 years of coaching is that as crazy as it gets, and even if the parent is correct in their yelling and screaming or whatever, you know what? Those kids are embarrassed. It embarrasses them. I've had young men ages 11 to 13 sit and cowl in the corner of a dugout in tears because dad or grandpa or mom embarrassed them by yelling something out.
Yeah, they're reaching the age of social sensitivity there. And that's, you know, now we're characterizing this as somewhat of a recent phenomenon, or at least that's the upshot that I'm getting here. But, Greg, you know, I graduated from high school in 1968. In Livonia Central, we used to play Lima in basketball. And this is before the merger of Honeyway Falls and Lima. Honeyway Falls and Lima were separate districts at that point. The Lima Indians, I believe they were. And I remember that all the Lima games, hoops games, were played at 4:30 in the afternoon. The reason being some fracas had broken out some years before, and it totally involved parents. There were no kids involved at all. So basically what happened is the administrations of Livonia and Lima schools got together and they said, okay, we're going to continue to play in league play here, but we're going to play at a time when the parents can't come because they're all at work.
It's, you know, that's a sad story. And obviously that was you know, years ago, but that's probably not a bad idea for some issues. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that every parent who's ever gone to a youth athletic game is evil and shouldn't be allowed to watch. But as usual in our society, what happens is that it's the one bad apple or the two bad apples that kind of ruin it for everybody else. And, you know, when you've got to ban a father from watching his son and say, hey, look, go sit in right field in your lawn chair and get far enough so that when you yell, we can't hear you, it's kind of tough. And there's a story that actually happened this year. There was a parent who was quite vocal, and it was a situation where the parent was actually way out in center field beyond the fences, but they could still yell, and they were very loud. And at one point, there was a call at second base, and the umpire made the call, and the parent didn't like it. Well, the manager of the team went out to the umpire, and everybody, including me at the time, thought that the reason the manager was going out was to argue the call. Well, after the game, the manager admitted, I just went out to second base. The call was fine. I didn't have an issue with it. I was telling the umpire to tell the parent to shut up. So, I mean, you know, situations like that occur everywhere.
We're talking with Greg Camp. He's the host of the program here on Youth Sports Now on WYSL. We're getting to know him and find out what makes him do this show, what makes him tick. On WYSL 92.1 FM 1040 AM. Get the podcast and the live stream at WYSL1040.com. We'll resume our conversation with Greg in just a moment here on Youth Sports Now.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
There's only one little league where 500,000 girls can play their hearts out and be seen by the world. Little League Softball, televised nationwide in four divisions. Join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
We are back on Youth Sports Now on WYSL. Greg Camp is your usual host. Tonight he's playing, he's got the guest hat on. And I'm Bob Savage, and we're talking a little bit about youth sports now and Greg Camp, what makes him tick, what makes him do a weekly radio show about kids and sports. And we describe you, Greg, in the intro of the show, and you've made reference to this, as the lifelong little leaguer. So let's start out. Of course, obviously, you played sports as a kid, right?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I love to play all sports, but
Which sports were you really good at? What did you play, and what were your sports?
Baseball was by far my number one. It was and is my passion. You know, I dawdled and messed around with football and hockey. A couple of things for football was I didn't like all the running, so that was one thing. And then hockey was, I enjoyed hockey, and I was not a great skater. I remember a coach telling me at one time, he said, I should have cut you, but the only reason I kept you is that you're big and you can hit hard. And I guess, you know, maybe I had a future in the NHL with attributes like that. But but it was always, you know, the baseball, and I played golf certainly and still do, but I live for the baseball and the Little League experience.
Did you swim? Did you wrestle? No,
nope, I didn't wrestle. It was pretty much baseball, golf.
Team sports. You didn't do tennis or?
Nope. Okay. Nope. You know, we have a sign in our house that my wife actually sometimes doesn't like this sign, but I think it gives the feeling that we have in our house, which the sign just says, we interrupt this family for baseball.
So Little League baseball, you were huge on that. And that persists to this day. You're really a Williamsport guy, aren't you?
Oh, I love Little League baseball. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I'm in my 23rd year. I started coaching baseball when I was 14. So I was still playing, and I would play at night. But during the day, I was a little league coach. I coached in youth baseball, and that was where I caught the bug to really continue with it. Today, now, you know, years later, 23 years later, I manage my own team in Penfield Little League. I'm on the board of directors of Penfield Little League. I'm the president of Penfield Little League. I sit on the District 4, which is our region board of directors. And then I work with Williamsport in advisory capacities on various leagues. So, yeah, I think you were the one who coined the phrase the lifelong Little Leaguer when we started doing this show. And, you know, it's funny because people have said I should change my name on various things like Facebook or Twitter to the lifelong Little Leaguer.
So that one really stuck. I can't take credit for that. Actually, I think Bob D'Angelo came up with that moniker, and I just read it when I did your intro. But the old saying goes that everybody carries a picture, if you will, not literally, but, you know, figuratively speaking, a picture of yourself around in your wallet as to who you are and what you are. And if we were to haul the picture of Greg Camp out of your wallet, my suspicion is that the caption on that photo would say coach, right?
I would hope it does. You know,
tell us why that is.
To me, I don't know if I think with me, you know, my father was a lifelong educator, and he is retired now. But I think that years ago when I was younger, I rebelled against him in the sense that he was a teacher and in education. And I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And maybe my way of saying, hey, I like to do this is to say a coach instead of a teacher. But I enjoy working with the kids and sharing my passion for baseball with them, teaching them things, you know, the strategy and some trivia and so on. And if it says coach on my picture, or probably someday on my gravestone, which I hope it does say coach, you know, the biggest thing in my mind, the most complimentary thing you can ever be called is certainly husband, father, and coach.
Ah, okay. Now that's interesting. So in that order, husband, father, and coach, and those are of course all distinct roles. And you mentioned you like the mentoring of the kids. You like telling them by example and by word and deed what to do and how to do it. What do you get back from those kids that really makes you do this? Because obviously that's the impetus for this, isn't it, Greg?
What I get back, Bob, from these kids is this. You know, I have coached in my career what we, you know, fondly and kind of the buzzword in sports is I've coached the studs. These are the guys who they are really good ball players, and you know that they could play any sport they wanted to. But for me, the reward is when you take what I would consider to be the average ball player, the average everyday kid who loves the game. And he may not be the best player. He's not the worst, but he's not the best player either.
He's a player like all of us. He's
exactly.
Every man, right?
Every man, every player, average Joe. And working with them, and you identify some of the things that they need to improve upon. And when you see those improvements, man, it's like no feeling in the world, because you know that you've contributed to them. But then you also take it from the athletic field to hopefully their adult lives, and that you're contributing to their, you know, well-being and what they're going to turn out to be when they become adults.
Okay, so team play and the fulfillment of a role, a specific role within a team, working together in an organization in a harmonious way towards a positive result. That's the metaphor for life, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so they learn this thing in team sports. In that sense, tell us how team sports really differ from individual sports. And we alluded to this a little bit earlier in the conversation, like, for example, tennis or swimming or bowling or whatever.
Well, you know, we've had on Youth Sports Now, we've had a young golfer who is going off to college to play golf. We've also had a track star who got a college scholarship for golf. Both of them were young female athletes. And while cross country and track is a team, but it's also an individual sport, you know, the things that they said, and even what I believe in, is that, you know, you are competing against yourself, and you got to find it from within to compete, to improve. Well, the fact is that even in team sports, you need to do that. But you can do it in an environment where you have other people helping you and working with you. You know, one of the sayings that I always tell the kids and the parents and other coaches is, and again, I use the baseball metaphor, but you manage the team, but you coach the player. And you cannot possibly coach or manage a baseball team in Little League with kids where you can't coach them all the same way. You've got to coach them individually so that they work together in unison as the team.
So the management, if you will, of the team is you're dealing with the entire team as a body in a collective sense. And then when you're coaching, that's an individual relationship that you have.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things that I love to do is, as much as I love the coaching in games and I love the practices, I mean, practice is one of my favorite times of any season because I just enjoy working with the kids and practicing. But as much as I enjoy that, there's nothing better than working with the kids at summer camp, because at summer camp, I have a whole day and I can work with them one-on-one. And then at the end of the day, when they play their game, you've now spent an entire day working with them as individuals, learning their personality, learning what makes them tick and what's going to motivate them. And now you take 9 of them and put them out on a baseball field. And every single one of them at age 11 through 13 thinks they're doing their thing, but they have no clue what they're doing is they're doing the team thing.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about we started to allude to this a little bit here, and we're speaking with Greg Camp, the host of Youth Sports Now. He's now sitting in the guest's chair, and I'm doing the interviewing for a change. Giving Greg a sense of what it's like to sit on the other side of the console here. Really, in the last 30 years, if we had to identify one trend and one change which has hit Youth Sports Now, it's the increased role of young women. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
And I remember we had girls basketball when I was in school. They played half court, and it was always regarded as kind of a lower order of the sport. But boy, that sure has changed.
I'm telling you, you know, sports for young female athletes is just, you know, I guess everybody recently in the news is this whole issue of, you know, did Bobby Riggs throw the tennis match with Billie Jean King? But, you know,
let's go back to ancient history.
Women in athletics really have a lot to thank Billie Jean King for, because she was the one who said, hey, look, I can compete with men. Number one, compete. But she also paved the way for all these wonderful sports. I mean, field. Let me put it this way. I was going to name off all these sports. There's no sport that's out there that a young female athlete can't play. And whether they play it as a female team in an all-girls league or whether they play it co-ed, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I've watched some girls. We had on our show during the winter, Megan Browning, who was the starting goalie on the boys hockey team at Penfield High School, and she shut out the number one ranked team in the county. And, you know, I think that was like one of the coolest things that we did here on the show. But in general, that's a great thing. And you know, if you're a young girl or if you're the parent of a young girl and she wants to play baseball instead of softball, let her play. She wants to play hockey. Let her play. Let them go out and play. A great book. We interviewed the author. Is just the title of the book is, you know, let them play. Let the kids play. Another book we reviewed a little bit during one of the shows. The book is entitled, Will You Love Me If I Don't Win?
Oh, boy.
You know, that says it all.
That there's a lot of emotional freight there, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure there are situations where kids feel, if I don't win, I mean, this is not, why do I have a situation with my parents? This is supposed to be unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to, I mean, no matter what happens, if I go out there and give up my best, I'm supposed to be appreciated. I'm supposed to be supported. But man, if I don't win, if I don't perform,
guess
That's
what?
That's a terrible place for a kid to be.
And guess what? In life, there are times when you give it your best, but you don't win.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens in business. And yes, it happens in sports and in youth sports. It shouldn't happen. And, you know, it goes back to something that I said earlier and that we believe in so strongly with myself and my coaching staff is you look at the parents and you look at the kids and you tell them, cheer the effort, not the result. When an 11-year-old gets in a car after a game and they've made three errors, they struck out four times, you know what? We don't talk about the strikeouts and the errors.
We all have
we talk
days.
About, hey, you know what? Did you try your best? Well, yeah, Mom, I did try my best. Well, then you know what? That's all that matters. You give it your all, and then we know we can go home and call it a day because you did your best.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. You know, you're riding home, and maybe your young baseball player or hockey player didn't have the best day, but you got Coach Camp is riding in the car with you now.
Well, you know, I wish I could, and if I could say, you know, a final word to all the parents out there is, you know, do a check. Later on in the show, you're going to hear me, you know, talk a little bit about a commentary that I did, and I've got one for next week, which in fact with back to school. But, you know, everybody asks their kids and the teachers, what'd you do on summer vacation? I suggest ask your kids, what did you do in youth sports? And then ask the question, did you have fun? Because if they didn't have fun, maybe they don't want to play youth sports.
Hey, not to tell you how to do your job here, Greg Camp, but, you know, there's this there's these checklists. How do you know you're an alcoholic? Well, maybe you got a DWI, you lost your job, you've been disciplined at work or whatever. So there's like this checklist. Maybe you need a checklist for parents who really need to back off and be more supportive and less judgmental, and be better parents of young athletes.
I think that's a great idea, and you know, maybe we can put that on the Youth Sports Now website and even the WISL website, and we'll see what we can do. But you know, the main thing is love your kid, let them have fun, and make sure you're asking them if they're having fun, because you know what, nothing in this world is going to be successful if you're not having fun doing it.
Now, there's words from Greg Camp. He's the host of Youth Sports Now, and I should call him Coach Greg Camp. Thanks for joining us for the first part of the program. We're back with more here on WYSL in just a moment. Thanks for joining us for Youth Sports Now.
Proudly conservative. WYSL. Rochester's home for America's morning show with Quinn and Rose. 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
There's only one Little League where the kids of summer take over the world. The Little League Baseball World Series, televised worldwide. To be part of this, join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From Pee Wee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
We are back on Youth Sports Now, and it is time for the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment. And, of course, with us, as he is every week, is Mike Naparella from Peak Performance. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Do you have a good weekend and a good week so far?
Excellent, Greg.
You know, we've got a couple of listener questions regarding, you know, types of injuries and wanting to understand them better. So maybe it would be a good time for you to review, you know, what the different common injuries are that coaches, sports administrators, and parents really need to look out for.
Yeah, you know what, Greg, their timing on some of these questions is just incredible. We saw that the last few weeks. But, you know, it's the high school sports season, and teams started their tryouts and practices last week, and games are going to be beginning for some teams, I believe, even next week. And so the kids are doing two-a-days or double sessions last week. Some may still be doing them this week. And there's a lot going on. And so those risks of injuries start to rise as time passes here. And it's a time where I think it's a timely review for us to all just think about what are all these different words we hear in medical jargon. There's strains and sprains and all these sort of things. So I think it's a great question. A strain is one of the common things that can happen, and that's really thought of as a muscle or a tendon sort of injury. Commonly people would say, I pulled my hamstring or I pulled my quad, and that would be a tension-type injury where the muscle tendon got injured. A sprain is another common injury. And strain and sprain gets tossed around a lot together, and that really is very frequently sort of a mistake or a misnomer. They're not the same thing. The one is a muscle tendon. A sprain is the ligament, and the ligaments are those connective tissue, fibrous sort of tissues in our body that connect two bones together. So if we think of like our ankle, those bones are held together by ligaments that keep those connected and in a relationship with each other. Without the ligaments, those bones wouldn't be together. And the same is true of all those different bones. If you think about your elbow, there's ligaments that connect the arm bone to the forearm bones, and that creates an elbow joint. Without those ligaments, those bones would separate from each other. So a sprain is when that ligament tissue gets overstretched and damaged. A common example is an ankle sprain. Another type of injury would be a contusion. Just think of that like a bump or a bruise. Something gets fallen on or in a tackle, someone's helmet or their shoulder pad hits you in the thigh, and you get a bruising of tissue. And another one, obviously, is a fracture, and that's obviously where a bone has a crack in it. But people should know, too, that sometimes people believe that the word fracture and break mean two different things. The word fracture just tells us that there was a crack in the bone. It may be a displaced fracture where the bone ends are not in alignment anymore, or it could be a non-displaced fracture where on the film the bone would look like its normal shape and alignment, but you can see a fracture line or a crack in it. Obviously, they're both a problem. A displaced fracture is a bigger problem than a non-displaced. But those are some of the common injuries.
And Mike, does that also, you know, follow suit with what you're saying with the fractures? You know, you hear so many times where kids will come back from the doctor and they'll say, you know, they have a hairline fracture. So is that kind of what you're talking about, where maybe there's a little bit of a fracture in the bone?
Right, and it's mild, and certainly those are non-displaced sort of fractures, but there's still a fracture, and that bone isn't meant to have a fracture line in it. It's supposed to have great integrity of those bone tissue cells, and we don't want to have a fracture line. And that can be a time as well where they're going to have to be potentially locked down and immobilized, whether it be in a boot or a cast or a brace of some sort. resting from activities so that that bone can heal. The good news is that, you know, the kids that we're talking about at the high school, the junior high, even the college level to some degree, but certainly these younger ages are in active growth stages, and so they tend to heal much more quickly from these sort of injuries, of all the injuries really, than most adults would, because, you know, their metabolism and the growth and the hormones that are going on at those ages lend themselves to quicker healing.
And, you know, you used a word that is actually in one of the questions from one of our listeners, and it's something I've always wondered about, and it's growth, and I'm going to add the word growth plates to that concept.
Absolutely.
You know, so many times you hear, you know, the parents will come back after a visit to the doctor after a sports injury, especially with the kids who are younger, and they'll always, you know, maybe mention that they're concerned about growth plate issues. First of all, what is a growth plate, and why do we have to be concerned about them?
I love this question, and it really ties into this idea of fractures that we just talked about. It's a real issue, because if you talk with orthopedic surgeons, physicians about this idea of a growth plate injury, the medical jargon is the physis. The growth plate is the area of a long bone, and let's say the femur, your thigh bone, or the tibia, your leg bone, or the upper arm bone, the humerus. There's a place near the end of that bone that's called a growth plate, and it's a cartilaginous sort of region, but it's where growth and change in the cellular structure is occurring, and that's where the long bone starts to develop its length. So that's an area that it's a weaker area. It doesn't have the same sort of structural integrity and stress tolerance, if you will, that the rest of the bone itself does. And so that area is a region where damage can occur from compression or bending or twisting and all the sorts of things that happen to us when we get hurt. Now, there is certainly not a controversy, but a debate or challenge out in the orthopedic world in terms of when someone's younger and they have what we call open growth plates, should we consider almost any sprain-type injury that would have normally, let's say in an adult, caused an ankle sprain? Is that really, unless proven otherwise, should it always be considered a growth plate injury potentially? And it's difficult because a plain x-ray, or what we call a plain film, when you go to the emergency room or you go to the urgent care and you have an x-ray, that's excellent at reading and looking at the integrity of the bone itself. But the growth plate itself, if it's still, as we call, you know, quote-unquote open, if the growth plate still exists in a teenager, then that area is seen as a clearer area. It doesn't have that white coloring that the bone does. And so it's much more difficult acutely when they first get injured to really see whether or not there's potentially a fracture within that growth plate. Now, depending on whose system you're using, there's different categorizations of a growth plate injury. And if someone looks at a film and there's a fracture in the bone, like you had mentioned, a hairline, if there's a fracture in the bone section just below the growth plate and you can see the fracture line extending into the growth plate, you can make an assumption that the fracture probably does extend into the growth plate itself. But what about when there's no clear fracture in the white part of the bone that you see on the film? Can we be certain from a plain x-ray alone that there's not a growth plate injury? And that's difficult. The healing of that won't show for a few weeks. And more expensive tests, like MRIs, for example, and other tests, can reveal that growth plate injury, but it's really a huge impracticality to be able to put everyone who gets injured through those. So some orthopedists will look at it from a perspective of if a young athlete had a sprain injury, we can assume that there was probably some growth plate injury there as well. So if someone's very tender over the area where the growth plate is, oftentimes they'll just be casted and treated as if it's a growth plate fracture. So that goes along again with the idea that we don't want to just minimize words like, oh, it's just a sprain. Because a sprain can actually be a very significant injury, and sometimes more debilitating and difficult to recover from than even, you know, some simpler fractures. But then if you add in the fact that it could be a growth plate fracture in a teenager, for example, that needs to be treated with care and not just ignored and thought of, well, it's a sprain, they'll get over it.
So Mike, you know, let's talk about little Bobby or little Amanda, and they are told they have a growth plate issue or a growth plate problem. You know, what's the best thing for them to do? Do they play through it? Do they immobilize and sit? You know, what's the best thing for these kids to do?
Well, that's a good question, because we would look at an acute injury, just any old acute injury, a little bit differently than when we start tying the word fracture to it. So if we're talking about a growth plate injury, there's a good chance that they've seen an orthopedic doctor. Now, they may have seen their pediatrician as well, or instead, but if they've seen a physician who's actually made the diagnosis that it's a growth plate injury, they're going to be the ones leading the decision-making on treatment choices. You know, is that going to go into a brace? Is it going to be casted? Very commonly, if someone's calling that a growth plate fracture, an injury to the growth plate, they're going to be shut down for a little while to let that rest. Now, that may only be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's not like you or I who gets a true bony fracture. We may be immobilized for 4 to 6 weeks. If it's really bad, it may be longer. In a teenager, that's not usually the case. Again, it depends on severity, but that's not as often the case. So we have seen people who have come in from the orthopedic doctor. They were diagnosed with an ankle sprain that is really a growth plate injury as well, and they may be put into a walking boot for a week or two, into an ankle brace, and then they're working back gradually toward athletics. So it really is driven by the decision-making of the orthopedic doctor, who makes the diagnosis and decides, you know, how bad is it and how aggressive can we be. They're going to allow some healing, and they're also going to very frequently with those, once that healing phase has gone through, let it be symptom-dependent. So if someone's feeling better, you can move them on. Whereas a fracture in an adult, for example, you know, you're going to be locked down. I don't care how good it feels. You're going to be locked down for a certain period of time because we know it takes that long to heal.
So
talking about an acute injury like a strain or a sprain, and we talked about this with Phil on the show recently with the athletic trainer from West Irondequoit. It's really helpful for young athletes who get hurt to have athletic trainers at their school, and we're certainly at Peak Performance an advocate of that. They're skilled professionals in the schools. Are wise to have them available. But it really is a challenge. You know, that one athletic trainer can't take care of potentially hundreds of kids. If you think about a football team, and there's a modified program, there's a JV program, there's a varsity program, and that's just in boys football, how many kids you're talking about. Then when you talk about boys and girls cross country, and you have volleyball, and you have boys and girls soccer, there's lots of athletes that need to be taken care of. And so we would really encourage parents and coaches and athletes to make sure that if a kid gets hurt in school, they've got a sports injury, certainly try to see the athletic trainer, but that may not always be realistic. That's why we're available with that form of access that's called direct access, where they can give us a call at 218-0240, that's our phone number, and try to set up an appointment for direct access physical therapy, which lets that young athlete who gets hurt come in and get looked at and evaluated and try and help them decide what's the right next step to do. If they want options other than potentially going to the emergency room or seeing their doctor. And if we see somebody that needs to get films, we certainly will send them back to their pediatrician or potentially to an orthopedist. But we know the great majority of injuries tend to be soft tissue injuries. They're not all fractures. So a lot of those kids can begin their treatment process very early versus potentially waiting too long, having it fester. They don't get better. They're losing time. It's getting stiffer, getting weaker. And then the recovery process is much more difficult. So I would say, Greg, that if someone has an acute injury, and it's not a bump or a bruise or a ding that is getting better very quickly in 2 or 3 days, they should certainly seek help. And coming to see us is one of those alternatives.
So, you know, they seek help. They either talk to their doctor, their athletic trainer, and, of course, they can call you at Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, or even, you know, stop by and set up appointment at 161 East Commercial Street in East Rochester. And, you know, that's one of the smartest things that I think that they can do. And Mike, you know, one of the things that you mentioned about athletic trainers and how you guys work, you know, it's important to stress that people can call you directly for the direct access if they have an issue, and you know you're going to work with them. You have their best interest and their kid's best interest at heart, and everybody at Peak Performance really understands the injuries and you know what to do to overcome them.
Well, we deal with these things day in and day out. So we're very familiar with athletic injuries, with orthopedic injuries, and with teenage and youth athletic injuries. And so, you know, if we see something that clearly looks like, you know, we've got to make a decision here, is this potentially a fracture, then that's not something that we're going to be treating in physical therapy until we send them back to the physician and they can decide that there's no fracture, get some films on it. And so we work very closely with both family doctors and pediatricians, and as well as orthopedic doctors as well, in terms of getting people in very quickly oftentimes. Or many orthopedic doctors have urgent care facilities, so if there is a real concern about a fracture or a tear, if there's someone, for example, had an Achilles tear, or someone had a potentially, we thought they had an ACL tear, then we would certainly initiate them with the early range of motion and instructing them in controlled activity and those sorts of early care things. But we would get those people shipped off to a physician right away. But very often, Greg, we see kids who have mild strains, sprains, and they need help getting back to their sport, but there really is, there's no need to put them in a cast. There's no need to have x-rays done. And if we think of how it goes right now, you know, very frequently many of those kids are being seen by athletic trainers in the school, and they certainly never see their physician. Some of them are just talking with their parents or talking with their fellow teammates or coaches about how to handle those injuries. And so being able to see a skilled professional who's got experience and knowledge base not only hopefully gets them back quicker, but is done very safely.
Mike, you know, one more time before we end our segment, tell everybody again what your phone number is, what your address is, and even if they want to go online to check things out, where they can go.
Absolutely. So our website is www.peakptrochester.com, and our phone number is 218-0240. We are located in East Rochester, and that address is 161 East Commercial Street, which you can punch in on our website and get directions directly here. But the nice thing, one of the things I love about our location, Greg, is that we're literally 1 mile off of the East Rochester exit on 490. And so, you know, whether it's people in Brighton or Rochester, Pittsford and Penfield and Fairport, we're very easily accessible by a lot of people in these different surrounding communities with, you know, a 5 or a 10 or even a 15-minute ride. And so it's been an awesome location for us. It's very easily accessible off the highway there. And so that's how you can get a hold of us.
Great. We've been speaking with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Mike, hey, great topics as always. And we definitely urge everybody to send in their questions to us, and we'll get them all to Mike so he can be prepared and answer them for you. And we look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Excellent. We'll see you next week, Greg.
Up next on Youth Sports Now, some final thoughts from my dugout.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home, where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural, where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete, where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Sports performance training has evolved. Many athletes have taken advantage of sports vision training with Dr. Fred Edmonds and haven't looked back. Seeing a need for athletes to incorporate visual performance enhancement into their training, Dr. Fred established the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic to offer specialized sports vision care. Athletes are invited to test their visual strengths and weaknesses with a visit to the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic at the Sports Center on MCC campus. They will participate in a battery of standardized visual skills tests. Based on this unique and comprehensive visual performance evaluation, Dr. Fred develops an enhancement training program tailored to each individual athlete. For more information about the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, visit ExtremeSight.com or call 585-880-4818 today. Extreme Sight, a proud supporter of Youth Sports Now Radio.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
It's not out of the ordinary that kids would sit down to watch an awards program. I mean, we've built a society of awarding and rewarding everyone from sports stars to pets and everything and everyone in between. We have special shows before the award programs with interviews and questions regarding designer clothing, relationships, and Twitter names. So it was no surprise this past weekend when I turned on TV to find the MTV Awards being televised live from Brooklyn and the new Barclays Center, the new home of the NBA Brooklyn Nets, and soon to be the home of NHL's New York Islanders. The streets outside were paved with red carpeting and lights for the broadcasts were as bright as the sun and glaring into the apartments and brownstones of those who call that area home. For blocks and blocks, New York City put on a shining image for the MTV audience and the reported thousands of visitors who just hung outside to catch a glimpse of their favorite rock star. Little did they know that the sanitary department didn't get it all. There was a spot on the red carpet that traveled into the Barclays Center and somehow actually got on stage in the form of Miley Cyrus. Her parents must be so proud. Ironically, they actually are. I try and reserve comments on this program for youth sports topics, but let's remember that one of the goals of this program is the well-being of youth athletes, and when something threatens their well-being, we need to bring it up. Wow, the musical number, if you can call it that, that she performed on live television was nothing short of disgusting. There must be some giant magnet that is pulling our moral compass further and further away from what is not only acceptable behavior, but what is right. The days following this display that came right out of the minds of some questionably intelligent executive and artists have been filled with criticism and opinions for freedom of expression, as well as groups calling for banning live shows like this. Those arguments are better left to people much smarter than myself. But where I enter the fray is where I connect this to the plight we see in youth sports so much today. Adults making poor decisions that have an effect on our children. This show and degrading performance by a 20-year-old former child star was allowed and, in fact, promoted by adults. The stage was much bigger and on a national scene, but the concept is the same. Coaches acting poorly and players following suit. Parents demanding all-star selection and statistics on bench time. It's all the same thing. Not taking the well-being of our young into consideration. We've got to do a better job in entertainment, youth sports, and in life. I think we need a new moral compass, as the old one has failed us. Personally, we could all use some new directions to Sesame Street. At least the morals there have not changed. I hope. And that's the view from my dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, and by TJT Sports Photography.
Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.